Good morning. Knowledge only becomes wisdom when you apply it. That's what the young man said. Knowledge only becomes wisdom when you apply it. Yes, knowledge is power. But we want more than that, don't we? We want to be wise. We want to be able to live a life that is filled with right choices, good choices, wise choices. And yet today we have more knowledge than what we've ever had before on planet Earth. And my question for you and for me this morning is this: are we wiser for it? You see, wisdom is not knowing more. Wisdom is living right. I know a lot of smart people who make dumb decisions. How about you? You know anybody like that? They're really smart. They just make a lot of dumb decisions. Today we continue in our series called Wisdom: How to Stop Making Stupid Decisions. How to stop making stupid decisions. And here's what we're learning. The Bible really has two categories for you and me. Either we're wise or we're foolish. The wise sees the danger ahead and avoids it. The foolish person sees the danger but goes straight ahead anyways. And Scripture says, suffers the consequences, suffers the harm. You see, the wise person understands that life is connected, that what you do today impacts tomorrow. The decisions that you make today impacts your life next week and next month and next year and forever. The foolish one doesn't live like that. They live life like it's unconnected. Now, they know that it's connected, they just don't live that way. That's why they're foolish. And they think that they can make decisions today without it impacting or influencing tomorrow. And because of that, the Bible would say that they're foolish. You see, there's always consequences attached to every decision that you make, every decision that I made. Always. And so here's what we learned last week. Let me give you a quick review in light of that. Wisdom is a lifestyle. It's not compartmentized. I can't say that I'm wise in one area and foolish in the other. No, you're foolish. There's no such thing as a person who is wise in business and yet foolish in his family and is a wise man. No, you're a fool. Same way with for the ladies. You know, you can't be wise in one area and foolish in another area and be considered wise, because wisdom is a lifestyle. It's all encompassing. We can't compartmentize our life. You might be smart in an area, but you may not be wise in life. And so wisdom is a lifestyle. We also learned that wisdom is available to you and to me. Wisdom is available to every single person, because it really has nothing to do with being intelligent. It has to do with making good decisions. And wisdom is there for the taking, if you want it, if I want it. And then we learn that wisdom is found in fearing God. In fearing God. Not being scared of God. Not being afraid of God in the sense that he's out to get you. But to fear God. And I said that fear is a lot like faith. And what is faith? It's believing that God is who he says he is, and that he will do what he has promised to do. When it says fear the Lord, it's calling you and I to believe that God is who he says he is, and that he will do what he has promised to do. All of us who are parents, we want our kids to fear us in that way. I want my kids to know, you know, that I am who I have said that I am, and that I will do what I have promised to do. That's how you teach your kids good boundaries. Otherwise, your kids will grow up and say, ah, dad's full of hot air. I know what mom said, but it really doesn't matter. We can do anything that we want. And the sad fact is, that happens too often in the home. And so we develop that attitude towards God. We think that God won't do anything because we don't feel the what? The consequence immediately. And yet what it means to fear God is to believe that He is who He says He is. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is omnipresent. And He will do exactly what He has promised to do with you and with me. And so when you fear God properly in a biblical, healthy way, you don't need to fear anything else. And so one of the ways in which you and I can find out how much we fear God is, how much do you fear other things? Because the less you fear God, the more you will fear people. The less you fear God, the more you will fear other things in this world. And what happens is, you say, but I go to church, but I believe in God. I've even accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. Do you know that Christians make dumb decisions? Being a Christian does not exempt you from being dumb. Hello? I mean, just look at the Christian world today. We make a lot of stupid decisions, don't we? So just saying that you're a Christ follower, just saying that you know God, just saying that you come to church does not exempt you from making dumb decisions. What causes you and I to be wise is not being religious. What causes you and I to be wise is to fear God, is to really know that He is who He says He is, and He will do what He has promised to do. Now, if you don't fear God, you will never truly experience wisdom, because you will operate in your own ability and in your own knowledge, and you'll never experience true wisdom in life. Now, Proverbs tells us, we've been living there, I trust that you're reading the book, okay? A proverb a day, all right, will keep you from making stupid decisions, all right? And Proverbs tells us in chapter 4, it'll come up on the screen, look what it says here. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. It's the wisest thing that you and I can do. And what is wisdom? It's fearing the Lord. What is fearing the Lord? Knowing that He is who He says He is and that He will do what He has promised to do. And so getting wisdom is the smartest thing, the wisest thing that you and I can do. And when He says get wisdom, He's not talking about going back to school. That's knowledge. You can have a whole lot of knowledge and still be dumb. What He's talking about is knowing who God is and knowing that He is true to His word. And so He gives us this command, get wisdom, get wisdom. And so this morning what we want to do is we want to spend some time on how do I get wisdom? How do I pursue wisdom? How do I pursue wisdom so that I will quit making stupid decisions? Now again, we have to pursue this because just being a Christ follower does not exempt you from making dumb decisions. Matter of fact, when you look at Christians, many times Christians make the same dumb mistakes that people who don't even know God. The things that affect the world affect who? Those of us who claim to know Christ. And so it's a pursuit. It's not something that you and I come to a place in our life and say, got that mastered. No, it's a pursuit. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, a way in which we can practically pursue wisdom. Look at what he says here. This is unbelievable. He says, do not be shaped by or conformed to or pressed into a mold by this world's age. He's saying, don't go along with the wisdom of the world, the way in which they think, the way in which they do life, the way in which they make decisions. Instead, be changed within, transformed by a new way of thinking or changing the way in which you think or the renewing of your mind. And here's the benefit of having your mind renewed. Here's the benefit of pursuing wisdom. Then you will be able to what? Decide or discern or test or approve what God wants for you. His will, God's will. You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. What he is saying here is this: if you and I will go after wisdom, if you and I will pursue wisdom, if you and I will renew our mind, because you're not born with wisdom. Do you know that? I mean, you don't pop into this world just being wise. No, we have to pursue it. And he says, if you will renew your mind, if you will pursue wisdom, then you will understand that which is good, that which is pleasing. That means satisfying, not just for the moment, but for a lifetime. And that you will know what is perfect. What does he mean that you will know what is perfect? You will know what you need to know to be able to make the right decision. And guess what it is? It's exactly what you would do if you knew all the facts. But you don't know all the facts. Have you ever made a decision and said, well, man, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have, if I would have known that about him, I would have never married him. Hello? Y'all right? If I would have known that, I would have never quit that job. If I would have known that, well, who knows that? God does. God knows everything. That's who he is. And he says here that when we renew our mind, when we pursue the wisdom of God, when we fear him and we acknowledge who he is, that he's all-knowing, that he's all-powerful, that he's omnipresent, and that he will do what he has promised to do, then what happens is you will know that which is good. Because only God knows a person's what? Heart. You know what they look like. You hear what they say. But only God knows who they are. Hey, let me just talk to some people who are single right now. You're crazy if you don't let God choose your spouse. You're absolutely nuts. You're a train wreck waiting to happen. Because what happens is we decide the determining factors in getting married on all the wrong stuff. And that's why our success rate isn't very good, because only God knows the heart of that man. Only God knows the heart of that woman. And so Paul says here, renew your mind. Begin to think like I think. That's what God is saying here. And so how do we do that in a practical way? How do we do that? Let me give you some principles, okay? Here's the first principle if you and I are going to renew our mind, if we're going to pursue wisdom, if we're going to begin to get wisdom. Here's the first thing. You've got to desire it with all of your heart. You have to desire it with all of your heart. Look what it says here in Proverbs 4. Prize wisdom highly. Exalt her, and she will exalt and promote you. You know what that's saying? If you get wisdom, guess what will happen to you? You will be promoted. You will make progress in life. He says, prize wisdom highly and exalt her, and she will exalt and promote you. You want to get ahead in life? Prize wisdom. She will bring you what? Honor when you embrace her. Now, that's everything that we want, right? We all want to be promoted in life, right? If not on the job, among our friends, among our peers, we all want to be what? Honored. Mom, you want to be honored in your house? Pursue wisdom. Dad, you want to be honored by your kids? Pursue wisdom. You want to be honored by your peers? Pursue wisdom. And what he says here is that we have to prize it. Prize wisdom. That's exactly what he says here. And these are not cheap words. And to prize something means that you have an intense desire towards it. You see, wisdom has to become valuable to all of us. Matter of fact, in other parts of the book of Proverbs, the writer says this: sell everything you have to get wisdom. Everything. He is saying, you know, sell everything you have to get wisdom. Why? Because wisdom is the key to life. It's the key to life. We must want it more than anything else. Proverbs chapter 2. Look at what it says. It come up on the screen. I don't think it's in your notes. But look what it says here. Cry out for insight. That's a man who's desperate. That's a woman who's desperate. Cry out for wisdom and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. If I told you that there was a bucket of silver out in the parking lot, you all would get up and leave right now. Right? Because the fact of the matter is, truth be known, we desire wealth. We desire money. Most of us are saying right here, if I just had $5,000 more, oh, it'd make life so much better. Right? And what he is saying here is, search for them as you would for silver, as you would for money. Seek them like hidden treasures. Check this out. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. Then you will know who God is. Most of us don't know who God is, by the way. We have a warped, twisted view of who God is. He says, then you will know, okay, and understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. He says, cry out. He says, seek for it like it's silver or like it's a hidden treasure. What is he saying here? He's saying that you have to have a desire. You can't be passive about it. This is not something that happens by osmosis. You don't come here to church and get wiser. You might come here to church and get more knowledge, but you don't come here to church to get wiser. Just by sitting in a room, you don't do that. Wisdom is something that you personally have to pursue. And you won't find it in a pill, and you won't find it in a drink. It must be pursued. It's not a quick thing. It's not a quick fix. You can't be passive about it. And so the proverb writer says you must prize it above everything else. You must sell everything that you have to go after it. There's a story that goes like this with Socrates. Socrates said that a young man came to him one day and said, I want to become wise. And Socrates grabbed him by the back of the neck and put his head underwater and held it there for about 60 seconds and brought it back up. And then put his head back underwater again and held it there for about 60 seconds and brought it back up. And then put his head back underwater for 60 seconds and then brought it back up. And the young man was just... I need air, I need air. And Socrates told him, when you desire wisdom as much as you're desiring air today, you'll become wise. So let me ask you this. How much do you desire wisdom? Do you desire it with all of your heart? See, the problem with us is we desire other things above wisdom, and it wrecks our life. It's not that those other things are wrong. You just have them in the wrong order. You're prizing them above wisdom, and wisdom is the key to life. And so that's why Proverbs says, get wisdom. Do whatever you have to do, but become a wise woman. Become a wise man. And so that's the first principle. So let me ask you a question. Do you desire wisdom this morning? Do you desire, really, do you really want to know the truth about you? About your marriage? About your relationship? Do you really want to know the truth about your finances? Do you really want to know the truth about life? You know, you have to desire it. Here's the second one. You need to study and meditate on God's word. You see, what happens is, how do you know if you desire wisdom with all of your heart? Ask yourself how much time you spend with this book. Y'all right? Because this is the mind of God. You want to know who God is? You want to know what he's promised to do? You want to know how God thinks? It's in this book. And to study means that you gain knowledge. To meditate on it means that you begin to act on it. And knowledge can lead to wisdom, but only if you act on it. Look what it says here. It says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. That means complete. Not lacking anything. It gives us what? New life. Because when you pursue wisdom and you start making wise choices, guess what comes along with that? A new life. Man, you get a new life. You start living a new way, a fresh way. He says, his teachings last how long? Forever. So it doesn't change. You know, a lot of people started raising their kids by Dr. Spock, okay? And then they found out the dude was wrong. Not so with this book. Okay? Whatever this book says today will be true tomorrow. Whatever it says today will be true in a year from now, a decade from now. Let me just say it like this. Forever. Forever. That's what he says here. He says, his teachings last forever, and they give wisdom to ordinary people. We got any ordinary folk here today? Man, I am. I'm just an ordinary Joe. But there's hope for me. Why? Because wisdom's available to everybody. That's what he says. He says, my law is perfect. It gives you, it'll give you a new life, Dwight. You don't like the life that you're living? You see, listen, you are where you are today because of the choices that you have made. If you don't like where you are today, start making different choices. Become wise, and you'll have a new life because his teachings last forever, and they give wisdom to ordinary people. I'm ordinary. And so we have to study and meditate on God's word. You see, many people are distressed and despondent about life. Why? Because they lack purpose and direction, wisdom, if you will. And he says here, if you'll study and meditate upon this, I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new life. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is leading the people of Israel into a new land, a new challenge. For those of us who are single here and we've just graduated or we will be graduating, it'll be like you going to college. Okay? New life, new challenges, new temptations. And Joshua is leading the people, and they have already tried this once and failed because they went into the promised land and God said, here's what I will do with you or for you, but you know what? They weren't wise in their thinking. They didn't make the wise choice. So guess what happened? They ended up in the desert for 40 years. And now they're going to get another chance at it, okay? And Joshua is saying to them, hey, let's get this thing right this time. And he's telling these people, you're going to enter into a land that's completely different from the land that you have been living. You have been slaves. You have been living a certain way, and we're going into this new land, and I want you to succeed. I want you to be able to enjoy this new land that God has given you. And here's what he tells them. And here's the, by the way, this is going to be a lot of first-time experiences for you, because all you've known is the desert. All you've known is the wilderness. And young person, listen to me. All you've known is living under mom and dad's house. And now you're going to go out to college. And now there's going to be all kinds of opportunities. This is the setting here in Joshua. And here's what he says. Always remember, do not let depart from your mouth what is written in this book of the teachings. Study it. Meditate on it day and night. Check this out. Be careful and diligent to obey everything, because that's where it needs to lead you if you're going to be wise. Just to study it, okay? Just to study it and not be careful to obey everything in it means that you're still dumb. All you are is smart. I know a lot of people that are smart about the Bible and dumb about life. Because you know what? Y'all all right this morning? Because they never get around to obeying it. I mean, I've talked to men before. Well, Dwight, I can quote scripture to you. I can do this. I can do that. So what? You're still dumb. Y'all right? Because you know what? You're dumb if you know the truth and don't act on the truth. That's what he's saying here. He says, study it, meditate on it day and night. But listen to this. Be sure to be what? Careful and diligent to obey what? Everything in it. He goes on to say, look what he goes on to say here. If you do this, you see, life is what? Connected. If life is connected, that's what he's saying here, you will be what? Wise. You will be prudent. What's a prudent man do? He sees the danger and he what? Avoids it. You will be prudent, successful, and successful and prosperous in, somebody help me, everything. Or a long life's path along the way. Joshua is telling them, man, listen, you're going into a new job. You're going into a new relationship. You're going into a new area financially. You're going into a new season of life. That's what was happening here. He is saying to them, do not allow this book to leave you. Study it, meditate upon it. And if you will do that, and if you will be careful to do everything written in it, then you know what? In this new adventure, in this new season of life, you will experience what? Success. And you will be prosperous. And do you know that this is the only place in Scripture that it talks about success and being prosperous in this way? It's connected with knowing God's word and then doing it. What would you say with this statement? You're only as wise as much as you know this book. Got any dumb folk here? You're only as wise as much as you know and understand who God is and his word. That's what it's saying. You're saying, Dwight, you're being pretty blunt this morning. It's pretty blunt. Sometimes we need a 2x4, don't we? Because nothing else gets our attention. And that's what he's saying. See, that, you know, you say, well, Dwight, I'm interested in studying and meditating upon God's word. Because you know what the Bible says? You ready for this? The way of the transgressor is hard. That means when we don't make wise decisions, life becomes hard. It becomes difficult. And we usually blame who? God, because you know what we say? I've been going to church. Going to church doesn't make you wise. You can be dumb and stupid and go to church. Hello? You have to pursue wisdom. And so we have a New Point Institute that we've kicked up. You know what? You're getting the opportunity to understand the Old Testament and the New Testament, who God is and what he has promised to do. I would encourage you to take advantage of it. You say, well, I didn't even finish high school. We're not talking about, okay, being smart. We're talking about getting wisdom. And I would sign up for the New Point Institute. And I would just say, hey, you know what? I want to pursue wisdom. I want to be intentional. I want to know who God is and what he has promised that he would do for me in my life so that I can make decisions based on knowledge. Here's another thing that I would challenge you to do. Make a commitment to read this book 15 minutes a day. Just 15 minutes a day. And don't start in Leviticus, okay? Just 15 minutes a day. You know, begin to read the book of Proverbs. Begin to read the book of Psalms. 15 minutes a day. Before you go to bed, or right after you get up in the morning, and begin to ask God, God, I want to know your mind. I want to know your thoughts. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you have promised. And here's what I promise you. If you would do that for a year, or let's just say for 6 months, you will not be the same person. You will not think the same way. You will not be making the decisions that you're making today. Your mind will be stretched. Your heart will be enlarged. You will have more zeal and fervor than you ever had. And above all else, guess what? You will have grown in wisdom. And it won't be long until somebody will be saying this about you in Proverbs 18. Check out what it says here. Here's what it says in Proverbs. The words of his mouth are deep waters. Has anybody ever told you that? Wow, you're wise. That's what he's saying. Instead of saying, wow, he's shallow. That's what it says there. The words of his mouth are what? Deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a gushing spring. What happens is you'll find out that, you know what? Wisdom will begin to flow out of you because you're pursuing the source of wisdom. And who is the source of wisdom? God himself. And so we need to have a desire for wisdom with all of our heart. We need to study and meditate upon God's word. We need to do that. And then, thirdly, we need to ask for wisdom. We just got to ask for it. As you study and meditate, ask God for wisdom. You see, Solomon, the wisest man apart from Jesus Christ, was not born wise. He asked and he prayed for wisdom. Here's his reply. God's reply to Solomon after he asked for wisdom. Solomon, I am pleased that you have asked for this. What? Wisdom. You could have asked to live a long life or to be rich. Or to have, you could have asked for your enemies to be destroyed. Instead, you have asked for wisdom to make right choices. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Let's do a little rewind. What'd you ask for God over the summer months? I just got a question. Don't raise your hand, please. Would there be anybody in this room in July or maybe August or June, one of those 3 months, just said, God, I need your wisdom? Anybody? Or were we saying, God, man, I'd like to live along. I'd like to see my grandkids grow up. God, I'd really like to get a better job than what I have so I can make more money. Y'all okay? God, you know, I wish you would do something about these people that are driving me nuts at work. I mean, they're spreading rumors. You see, God told Solomon, you could have asked for that, but you didn't. You know what you asked for? You asked for wisdom to make right decisions. Now, guess what happened to Solomon? He got a long life. He got riches. His enemies were destroyed. Why? Because he asked for wisdom. Daniel admitted that he didn't have wisdom. And he told his peers, he said, I can't do what you're asking me to do, but I'll tell you what I will do. I will ask the God who is wise. And look what he says here in Daniel chapter 2. Look at this. This is incredible. Our God, your name will be praised forever and ever. You are all-powerful and you know everything. Daniel knew who he was. He's all-powerful and he knows everything. You control human events. You give rulers their power and take it away. See, Daniel knew who God was. You are the source of wisdom and knowledge. You explain deep mysteries because even the dark is light to you. Wow, what a statement. You are God who was worshiped by my ancestors. Daniel is saying, you know what? You're the source of all wisdom. You're all powerful. You're in control. You're the ones who determine who's going to be in position. And Daniel was crying out to him. He is saying, you know what? You are all wise. And here's how he ends it. He says, I thank you and I praise you for making me what? Wise and telling me the king's dream together with its meaning. You see, Daniel was saying, you know what? I can't tell the king what his dream is and interpret it for him. But you know what, God? You can. He asked for wisdom. And then in James chapter 1, verse 5, look what James says here. He says, if any of you, that would be us, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives it what? Generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. You know what that means? Have you ever asked wisdom from somebody and they say, well, you dummy, you didn't know that? Sure, we all have, right? That's why we usually don't ask for it. And God's very upfront with you and me, and he says this to you and me. When you and I come and we ask God for wisdom, he's not going to say, well, you dummy, Dwight, don't you know that? That's not who God is. God is going to say, you know what, Dwight, I am so glad that you asked because I want to warn you of the danger that lies ahead if you continue to go down that path. I want to give you insight into this situation so that you can make the best decision possible. So you ask for wisdom. Why don't we ask? Let me tell you why. Because we're full of pride. Anytime you ask for anything, it exemplifies humility. Because when you ask help from anyone, a person or another man, another woman, or a team, or God himself, what you're saying is, you know what? I need help. And humility is all about admitting, you know what? I need help. And so you ask for it, and you ask for it boldly. Let me give you the last two, and we're done. We're talking about pursuing wisdom. You got to have a desire for it. You got to study and meditate upon it in God's word. You've got to ask for it, and you've got to embrace the brevity of life. You got to embrace the brevity of life. You know why? Here's what Scripture says. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You know what makes me wiser is when I know I'm going to be held accountable for my decisions. You know, the reason why we make stupid decisions is because we don't think anybody will hold us accountable for our decisions, right? You turn up the heat on accountability, and for some reason or another, we begin to be more interested in whether this is a good decision or a bad decision. Same, by the way, mom and dad, same way at your house, okay? Want your kids to be making good decisions? Hold them accountable for their decisions and don't rescue them out of the decisions that they make. Let them suffer the consequences. Well, what would they think of me as a parent? Who cares? You want your kid to be wise, right? Y'all right? And so what happens is you allow people to suffer the consequences. When you embrace the brevity of life, I realize I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to give an account. And when I realize that, you know what? It makes me want to be wiser. It doesn't send me out there saying, hey, Mason, just make all the dumb decisions that you want. It doesn't really matter. Nobody's going to hold you accountable. You see, Stephen Covey would say it like this. Stephen Covey would say, begin with the end in mind. Do you know that that was already written in God's word before Stephen Covey ever wrote the sentence, begin with the end in mind? Look what Moses has to say. This is incredible. Look what Moses has to say here in Psalms 90. He's telling us to begin with the end in mind. He says, teach us, make us know how short our lives really are, to count our days so that we may be what? Wise, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Here's what he is saying. He is saying, begin with the end in mind. Realize that you only have a certain amount of time here on earth. And you can't just be doing life on learning from your experiences. Life is not long enough for that. And Moses is saying, teach me to number my days. Help me to embrace the brevity of life. Help me to realize that I only have a certain amount of time here to be able to influence and be able to make decisions. So let me ask you this question. How do you want to be remembered? You're going to be remembered, by the way. How do you want to be remembered by your spouse? How do you want to be remembered by your kids? How do you want to be remembered by your peers? How do you want to be remembered? Then you have to teach yourself to number your days and realize that, hey, you know what? Life is short, and I'm making decisions. I'm building a resume on my life. And so how do you think clear about that? You embrace the brevity of life. You realize that life is short, that you only have a small window. And then finally, here's the fifth principle. You develop a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. You develop a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus has to say in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. This is unbelievable, okay? Here's what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, who were knowledgeable, they just weren't wise, okay? The queen of the south will stand up at judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of who? Solomon. And behold, someone more and greater than Solomon is here. Wow. Someone greater than Solomon is here. Who's he talking about? He's talking about himself. He is saying that wisdom, or that Solomon shared with you the wisdom of God. Jesus was saying, I am God. I am the source of wisdom. And so Paul prays in Ephesians for people, and this is my prayer for us at New Point. He prays this prayer that we will begin to have a heart of understanding. And so it's going to come up on the screen here, hopefully, in a moment, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Look what it says here. But to those called by God to salvation, that would be us, both Jew and Gentile, Christ is the power of God and the what? The wisdom of God. God has united you with Christ. For our benefit, God made him to be what? Wisdom itself. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Jesus is the key that opens all hidden treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. What is he saying? You get to know Jesus Christ, you will become wise. You remember those wristbands that we had? Okay? WWD, what would Jesus do? Okay, really, that's wisdom. But you don't know what Jesus would do unless you know Jesus, unless you have his mind. And so you have to develop a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. How do you do that? By studying and meditating upon God's word. So let me bring it to a close. Are you going to get wisdom? Are you going to pursue wisdom? You got to desire it. You've got to study and meditate upon God's word. You've got to ask for it. You've got to embrace the brevity of life, and you've got to develop a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you'll experience what Isaiah said here in Scripture. Isaiah said this, "Don't fear anything except the Lord. If you fear Him, you need fear nothing else." When you and I begin to fear God, that's the beginning of wisdom, knowing who He is and what He has said, then you will become a wise person. And you and I will begin to make lesser and lesser and fewer dumb decisions. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. And I pray that we would realize that wisdom must be a pursuit. We can't be passive about it. We can't just think that because we're, quote, unquote, a Christ follower, because we go to church, even because we read the Bible, that somehow we're going to be wise. No, we need to pursue it. We need to study who You are and what You have promised. And we need to meditate upon that. And we need to be careful to obey everything. And then we will become wise. And so, God, we pray that we would make this a priority and that we would pursue the person of Jesus Christ, who is the key to all wisdom. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.